Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Chris Canty, we are making it through another week, and when we return on Monday, we'll flip the calendar to June. But good morning to you, Chris Canty.
Good morning, Dave. I'm trying to make it through the week. It's a lot going on right now. My mind is far away from doing a sports radio show, but I'm going to try to push through with you guys. I know it's a part of the job.
Yeah, certainly a lot going on in the world right now that makes it difficult to focus on the matter at hand for us, but we're professionals and this is what we do. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, David. I'm doing fantastic. It's Friday. We got through another week. Looking forward to the weekend. Maybe some nice weather, hopefully.
Got a big NHL guest for us today. We landed.
Big. Not just a big guest. Big. Don't pigeonhole him as an NHL guest. I mean, I don't care what he's doing. He's a good guy. He's a good guest.
Well, I didn't say he wasn't a good guy, but if I asked Chris, where does our guest hail from? What sport? I don't think he'd say, well, he's just a guy. You would say he's an NHL guest, right, Chris?
Yeah, I would classify Clooney as an NHL guest.
I think it's disrespectful.
More like the NHL guest, though.
Yeah, I just think if you just ask Canty, like, I mean, we have one of your favorite guests, maybe your favorite guest on the show today.
All you had to do was say, Chris, we've got your favorite coach in the tri-state area on the show. That's all you had to say.
That's right.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
And in a big time slot, too. Right at noon.
Hopefully we'll have some music, maybe a nice intro. What do you think?
Yes. Dave? That would be lovely. I would
maybe something like maybe a sound in between questions, just so people know we're asking a new question.
Maybe sprinkle that. You know what's nice is even old Don could listen to this interview. Don that slept till noon would wake up and just hear David Quinn on with us right at noon.
Yeah, this is for the masses. This is right around. This could be brunch. Well, who knows? Maybe you're having an adult beverage and you're just saying, you know what? I'd like to hear some hockey. And boom,
well, it is Friday. Quinn. That's right. You know, I didn't realize that Capo Caco has diabetes. Did you know that?
I did not know that. No, I didn't really go in depth into his full health report.
No, but I was reading a report yesterday that he has it, and I guess it's certainly interesting if he's concerned to return with everything going on, or he's one of the guys that says, you know, it's not worth the risk, and I'm not going to come back. I'm sure that's something the Rangers have and will address.
I'm sure that's a concern for all these teams. I mean, that's why, I mean, health needs to be the number one priority, and it depends guy to guy. I mean, you have, you know, the bald Mamba with the Lakers saying, you know, he's not overly concerned about COVID because he's in, you know, such great shape. And then there are some guys that are dealing with underlying health risks. I mean, I think football is the biggest. For me, college football players would be my biggest concern at the moment because you got young kids and you got big guys that, I mean, could be susceptible. I mean, you're talking about humongous offensive and defensive linemen that you're trying to protect.
Mm-hmm.
No question about it, Rick. And then just the sheer number of players that are going to be involved. Like with the NFL, you're talking about 2,000 guys. With college football, you've got over 100 programs at the Division I level, and then you're talking about 100 kids on every team. That's a lot of kids.
Yes.
So, I mean, certainly there are going to be some athletes that are dealing with underlying health issues that they're not even aware of. And to rush to put these kids at risk, I mean, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me if you're the NCAA. But to your point about Caco, Dave, I mean, I didn't know that he deals with diabetes, but Patrick Peterson came out yesterday and talked about his concern about returning to play because he deals with diabetes. So, I mean, this is a real concern. I know a lot of people focus on the money aspect of things because of what's in the news with Major League Baseball. But, I mean, we are talking about taking on a lot more risk if you're a professional athlete in your return to play dealing with the coronavirus.
Absolutely.
But I think that's why we always end up coming back to the finances that are involved. You know, you're going to have to make it worth the athlete's, you know, time and more importantly, their willingness to take the risk by offering them more money than you might like. Right? I mean, isn't that what it comes down to?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how much risk are you going to, like, how much is it going to cost you to make me take this kind of risk?
Sure. But if you're Caco and you speak with your doctors and they say, you know, there may be no amount of money, and I'm not saying this is the case, but if they say, you know, it's just not worth it for you and he sits out, then he sits out and good for him. And I don't think anybody judges him for that.
No, I think you're right. But, I mean, if it's up to him, I mean, and, you know, whatever percentages they give him, I mean, at his age, I mean, where he's at in his career, the ability to compete for a Stanley Cup, I'm sure he would make the decision that
I'm sure he wants to play. Absolutely. I'm sure he wants to play, and I would expect that he probably will. But, you know, there are underlying medical issues with some of these guys that a lot of people, you know, and I always say this all the time, and you guys probably feel this and have felt this, is sports fans don't look at athletes as people. You're a robot. You're someone that's out there for our enjoyment. And a lot of people do not look at the underlying issues of there's real human elements to a lot of these guys. And maybe with this disease, and maybe not, I don't know, maybe some of that changes a little bit moving forward.
Well, yeah, I'm sure some of it changes a little bit, Dave, just because you recognize that everybody could be at risk. Like, you know, you just don't know how this virus is going to affect different people. And when you think about high-level athletes, some of the best conditioned people in the world, you're saying, well, they shouldn't be affected by this. But you've seen that you've had high school athletes and college athletes be affected adversely by the coronavirus. So I just think that this is one of those things where you understand that the choice comes down to the individual. And it's about them being able to assess what's important to them and determine whether the risk, whether the reward is worth the risk. And for a lot of professional athletes, there's a dollar figure attached to that. And to Rick's point, it's one of those situations where you have to determine whether or not the payoff is going to be there. Because let's not forget about this. It's not just about how the virus will affect you in the short term, but it's also the long term. You know, God forbid one of these players has a return to sport and gets infected with the coronavirus, and it changes their career trajectory. Like, that's the one thing that we don't know, and that's the one thing that these sports leagues can't guarantee, is that there wouldn't be any long-term damage done if you got the coronavirus. Now, I mean, according to the science, the risk is low, but it's still a risk, and that's something that has to be factored in.
I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%. All right, Coach Quinn is going to join us right at the top of the noon hour. So today's Friday, and we love our Fridays, and we consider these somewhat football Fridays, and we have some football stuff to get into today, so let's go there. I'm surprised. I thought this, Chris, this 4th and 15 play from your own 20 or 25-yard line as an alternative to the onside kick was going to pass, and it did not. NFL teams need to kind of digest this for at least another year, and that will not be passed into a new rule for 2020.
I was hoping that the NFL was going to be aggressive, Dave, but to me, I think this is a little bit of the backlash that the NFL got for implementing the pass interference challenge rule and how poorly that worked out. And Troy Vincent, you know, fell on the sword earlier this week and said that the failure is his in terms of that instrument not being as effective as they hoped it would be. And so I think the NFL is reluctant to make any drastic changes to the game for the 2020 season, especially with what we're going through with the pandemic, because there's already going to be a lot of change. We don't know whether or not we're going to be able to have fans this football season in stands. You know, it's taking all of the NFL's resources just to be able to find a way forward in terms of teams being able to get back in the building and get back to work. So I can understand why they would be resistant to trying to experiment with this now, but I would hope they would do something, because the rules that they put in place for the kickoff and for player safety have virtually eliminated the onside kick. The last two seasons, teams that have attempted onside kicks, I want to say they're 0 for 104. So, I mean, it's nearly impossible if the players can't get a rolling start to be able to recover an onside kick.
Yeah, I just don't see the negative. I mean, I don't see, and maybe this is just me as the fan, and I'm not really thinking about it the way that, you know, the people that are voting are. I don't see what the negative part of the 4th and 15 would be.
Yeah, I liked it. You know, I didn't at first just because I'm hesitant to the change aspect of it. But, you know, I don't know. This is not brokering a peace treaty. You know, the response is like, well, we need to really. But that's the way they act. Like, the NFL is so serious for these guys. It's like, well, we've got to really sit and study and see if this is something we're interested in doing. Well, you know what? You had this ridiculous pass interference rule. It didn't work out, and you wiped it clean.
But it doesn't
no way
feel
it can
like
be, it can be worse than that.
Yeah, but Dave, doesn't it feel like the NFL is always reactive? As
oh,
opposed
yeah.
to proactive.
With everything
so it's
they
like,
do.
I mean, so they wheel this rule out, and then they wheel out the sky judge, and then they kind of, you know, wait to see how everyone feels about it. And, you know, now we'll say, you know, we'll table this and now we'll see how people react to it. Do they really want it? Or was it exciting at first? Like, I just don't, I mean, isn't the whole point to keep, you know, your fans as engaged as long as humanly possible?
Mm-hmm.
And if all of a sudden now you got a 4th and 15, that's an untimed down. I mean, just think about that. Like, think of the possibilities. I mean, what your team could do. I mean, this is an untimed down. So you could be down, I mean, you could be down a couple scores with, you know, a minute left in the game and still have the opportunity to come back.
Sure. You go, you score, you do it again, you go, you score. Your defense could never see the field. I don't know. I thought there was something interesting and exciting about it.
Well, of course it's exciting, Dave. You're taking the ball out of the kicker's hands and putting it into the quarterback's hands. And for most teams, you're talking about their highest paid player. So that makes all the sense in the world because that's the guy that people want to come see. Why would you not feature the quarterback more and take less of the specialist out of it? To me, the proposal made all the sense in the world, and Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs are the ones that brought this to the table, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, I would love to see the drama that could build at the end of NFL games as a result of this. I just don't understand why the NFL owners didn't decide that they would at least try to implement this in the preseason. Like, they tabled the proposal for the Sky Judge, but from the reports that I heard yesterday, Diana Rossini and others, they're still going to have elements of a Sky Judge or a booth official in the preseason coming up. So, I mean, I just think that the NFL should use the preseason. If we're still going to have a preseason, why not use that as an opportunity to experiment with some of the innovations for gameplay that you would consider having in the regular season?
I think it was the Eagles' proposal. I think this new rule was the Eagles' proposal.
You are correct.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, again, and I mean, you're talking about, for the most part, I mean, the highest paid player on the field is the quarterback, right? I mean, so wouldn't you want to give your quarterback the opportunity late in the game? I mean, just think about the red zone. All of a sudden now, I mean, that's more content for the red zone. You go into a 4th and 15. You know what I mean? Chance to keep the ball, keep the game going. I mean, yeah, that's the definition of excitement.
I think it's exciting, and the onside kick has become kind of ho-hum. I mean, you can only line a certain amount of guys up on one side, and I understand why that is, but that's become, odds are you're not going to recover the onside kick if you're the team doing it.
That's so a boring
play. More excitement into the mix here.
This is contrary to what the NFL, I mean, says it's trying to do. I mean, the reason why you move the extra point back is because it was too easy. And it was ho-hum, okay, extra point, I'm going to go grab, you know, some more wings and a beer or go use the bathroom because I don't need to watch it. I mean, are you really that dialed in for the onside kick?
Well, no.
They're not eliminating the onside kick. You still have the opportunity. You can still use that as an option. This could be, this for me is a better option. It's a more exciting option.
I agree with you. It's there's no doubt it's more exciting. And the onside kick used to be more exciting until they changed the rule. But now it's become kind of ho-hum because the odds are distinctly against you recovering this.
They've eliminated the onside kick. The onside kick is done. They've eliminated that. I mean, the last 2 years, nobody has been able to recover one. Isn't that, in effect, eliminating it?
Yes. Yeah, for all intents and purposes.
I don't know if that's right, though. Are you sure about that?
No, it's not. That's not right. It's teams that have been in a position where they've needed an onside kick are 0-1-4 in the result of the games. Not that they haven't recovered any of the onside kicks.
Because you had 2-1 game. I mean, didn't you have 2-1? What game was it last year where they had 2-1 game?
Yeah, I don't remember that game. But those teams have never come back to win games.
They don't come back and win. Years.
Right.
They don't come back and win.
Right. They're 0-104 with the being put in a position where they are forced to onside kick it. Nobody has come back to win the last 2 years.
I don't see the negative. I may be crazy. I mean, I think it's a no-brainer.
Most people liked it.
It's just more excitement. I mean, at the end of the day, this is, I get it. I mean, there's the purist that, I mean, Andy Reid actually said it. Like, he's probably the best equipped because he has Pat Mahomes. Mm-hmm. And he has, I mean, you name the weapons, they have him. Like, he's probably the most equipped to deal with a 4th and 15, but he's a purist of the game and he doesn't like change. I mean, I get it. I understand.
And I don't
either. I'm the same with hockey. But at the end of the day, when this is all said and done, it is an entertainment product as well. Like, you're trying to make it as entertaining as humanly possible. And keep your fans as engaged as possible. I mean, I would have a hard time turning. I mean, wouldn't you have a hard time turning the TV off or changing, you know, the game that you're watching if there was the ability on an untimed 4th and 15 to have your team, you know, march down the field?
And oh, well, you absolutely would, because the NFL is all about the offense being able to have an opportunity to score points. I mean, people want to see offense. You know, there's the slogan, offense sells tickets, defense wins championships. Like, everybody wants to come see the quarterbacks. Everybody wants to see the offense. So putting the ball in the offense's hands at the end of the game, if you're down a couple of scores, to me, it makes all the sense in the world in terms of being an entertainment product. Like, to me, that makes for the best drama at the end of games. Rather than having an onside kick where you have a very little chance of being able to recover it because you don't get the rolling start, being able to actually have your offense out there to try to convert a 4th and 15.
But everyone that I heard speak about it was excited about it. Like, oh, God, could you imagine Chiefs down by 11, 2 minutes to
go?
Well,
Dave, you don't have to imagine it. You saw it in the Super Bowl. I mean, it wasn't the Chiefs trying to get an onside kick, but it was a 3rd and 15 that changed the game, right?
Of course.
The Tyreek Hill play?
Yeah.
Wasn't that what changed the game? I mean, why wouldn't you sign up for those types of moments on a regular basis in NFL games?
I just don't get the NFL. With almost everything they do, and we all love it, we'll watch it regardless. But they just don't make sense to me. Like, to me, this was somewhat of an obvious play. But the way they handle almost everything, Rick, makes you scratch your head.
It makes us scratch our head, but I mean, it's too big to fail at this point. I mean,
no, I agree.
It doesn't matter what decision they make, we end
you're
up.
You're right.
Still
it's not baseball where if they don't. If God forbid they decide they can't have a season and we get to 2021, everyone will come back in full force. It's not like where you're concerned about losing fans or anything. It's just for the betterment of the game, and I really believe this was for the betterment of the game of football.
Yeah, but how many leagues, Dave? Honestly, I mean, outside of the NFL, how many leagues can institute a rule and then spend the entire season trying to be so bad at the new rule change that they get rid of it after the season is over? Like, almost on purpose. Like, we're gonna make this so painful for coaches and the fans to watch that by the end of the season, they're gonna be screaming to get rid of it. Cause that's what they did with the challenge in the PI last season.
They could not have handled it worse.
Well, exactly right. Or if that's what they were hoping to achieve, was you guys were all complaining because of that one play in the big moment, so we'll give you what you want, and then we'll make such a mockery out of it,
right,
that you'll be the ones that want to get rid of it, not us. They played it to perfection. I mean, if that's a rule they didn't want to institute, how badly they handled it,
it was gross.
They butchered it, almost on purpose.
Gross.
Well, probably on
it was
purpose.
Awful. Watching the NFL games, and then there were clear pass interferences where they didn't do anything, and you challenge it. I mean, it was awful. It could not have been handled worse, Chris. It was as bad as possible.
No, it was bad, Dave, but I think because they're getting a lot of backlash now and you heard the fans and media members complaining about it, I think that's made the NFL a little gun shy about whether or not they're going to try to implement things in one off season. I think this is one of those situations where they want it discussed for several off seasons before they're actually going to do something about it. So they're tabling it. It probably won't be in 2020, but maybe we see that change in 2021. Maybe we see the sky judge in 2021. But for the 2020 season, with everything that's going on as the backdrop, I just don't think the NFL has the appetite to try to implement those types of changes.
Well, you clearly,
and I don't think that's the right. I don't think that's the right approach. I honestly don't. I think they're doing the wrong thing by at least not experimenting with it in the preseason.
Don't you guys feel like this is the perfect opportunity for all these leagues to experiment with new things?
I've said that a million times.
Well, Mark Cuban
said
it too in his interview with Rachel Nichols.
I think you let it all hang out. I mean, all the ideas that you had, I mean, players will be willing to try it. Fans will be willing to give it a shot because we're starving for sports, man. Like, I wouldn't be opposed. Listen, one of the things that they've talked about in the NHL for a long time is that in order to have more goals, because that's what they want is more goals, which drives me crazy as a goalie. Just give me more opportunities. Give me more shots. That's excitement for me. But one of the things that they proposed a couple different times is that you actually have to serve all 2 minutes of a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're on the power play.
Box upon a goal. Everything
right.
Would be treated as a major then.
Exactly right. So you have that full mm-hmm. 2 minutes to try to score as many goals as you can score. I mean, I wouldn't like it as a goalie, but I mean, I think it'd probably be good to institute.
Well, it adds more excitement. More
exactly right. It adds more excitement. And that, isn't that what we're trying to do now?
Yeah.
I need something. I need something exciting.
Well, you know, look, you're going to love the NFL regardless, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's going out the perfect woman, and it's just maybe it's a little bit better. But, I mean, it's still great. It's not going to change your love affair with the NFL, but I think it was an opportunity to make it a little bit better. A little bit. I mean, it's not a huge change. A little bit better, and they whiffed on it.
Yeah. I mean, listen, again, they may have better reasons than they're letting on in the moment, or they're just kind of playing us and have us, you know, screaming for it. So then when they do institute it, then, you know, everyone would be happy. But I mean, I didn't see anything wrong with it.
Yeah, I didn't see anything wrong with it as well. And to your point, Rick, why not shoot your shot with everything that's going on this year? Like, fans will give you a pass just because they're craving live team sports. And the NFL is king of team sports in this country. So, I mean, I just feel like the NFL is in a position to do no wrong. All of the different things that we have been talking about in terms of ways to improve the game and ways to, you know, allow the outcomes of these games to be what they're supposed to be. I just think the NFL had a chance to do that this offseason, and the owners decided they didn't want to vote for it yesterday. They'd rather put it on pause than decide to try to move forward with it and experiment this year.
Yeah, missed opportunity, I think. I think it was a missed opportunity. I mean, we had this conversation yesterday, right, with Major League Baseball. You know, what would the damage be? You know, how much damage would be done by missing a season? There'd be damage done, but more importantly, it'd be a huge missed opportunity. I mean, that for them would be a huge missed opportunity with what's going on right now. To get their guys back on the field and try to create some excitement from people that don't necessarily love Major League Baseball. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this is the time, and you said, and we've said this so many times on this show, this is the time. If you're going to roll the dice when you have a pandemic going on, maybe this is the time that you tinker with this or change that or do this, and people aren't going to have the same reaction. This is the time that the NFL had this opportunity, but they didn't do it.
But I guess the NFL is looking at it from this standpoint too, though, guys. I mean, with the disruption that you've seen in the other three major team sports, the NFL, just by virtue of when their season is probably going to be the least affected in terms of their overall schedule of events. I mean, think about it. You're talking about having coaches being able to be back in the building next week. I mean, as far as fans go, I don't know that anybody cares about OTAs or minicamps or anything like that, but actually having the coaches back in the building puts you one step closer to having the players back in the building. And by all of these governors saying that they're open for business with these pro sports teams, including Governor Murphy and Governor Cuomo, that means that the New York Jets and the New York Giants, if everything goes according to plan the next few weeks, would be able to have their training camps at their facilities. So, I mean, if you look at every major benchmark in the NFL calendar, the NFL has essentially hit all of the ones that are of the utmost importance. All of the ones that are essential in terms of the business of football, the NFL has done it. And so maybe they're looking at this season as a win. If they have the least amount of disruption, the least deviations, the less deviations than any of the other three major team sports. Maybe that's what they're saying. Maybe they're saying, let's just be conservative. We're already the king of team sports in this country. We'll continue to be the king as long as we have our games when they're scheduled to go.
Well, let's go to Gary in Jersey. Gary, you're first up on a Friday morning on 98.7. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We're good.
So I would look at it from a little bit of a different angle, the fourth and 15 for the onside kick. And you guys were talking about what a mess pass interference was.
It was
generally
awful.
That fourth and 15 could determine the game. Why would I want to give an official a chance to throw another horrendous pass interference, illegal contact, defensive holding flag, in essence, give them more control of the game than they already have now?
I think you'd have to come to some kind of compromise on how that play was officiated. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the Hail Mary is officiated a lot differently than most passing plays, right, at
yes.
the end of a game.
Of
so
course.
It would have to be something where it can't be, you know, some ticky-tack penalty on the defense ends up in an automatic first down. I mean, they have to figure that out. You know, how that thing is officiated, and, you know, maybe it turns into, you know,
replay down
or, you know, 5-yard penalty or 10-yard penalty, so now it's fourth and five, or whatever
not
it ends
an
up being.
Automatic first down kind of thing.
It can't be an automatic first down, no.
Well, but pass interference, I mean, if you have a legitimate pass interference 18 yards down the field, it shouldn't it be a first down?
But yeah, that's a subjective call. Yeah, I mean, it should be. In theory, it should be.
But, I mean, see, I almost think that's a bigger change. And I asked Mike Tenenbaum about this the other day, and he's like, no, you have to call every play the same way. I don't know what the answer is, though.
But this is where, I mean, hand in hand, both rules would have made sense, and all of a sudden you bring in the sky judge, which, you know, if I were to throw out a conspiracy theory, the way they're going to use this thing is sky judge won't ring down, the referee will have to ring up, but, I mean, let's not get it twisted. You don't think that the sky judge is talking into the head referee's ear?
I'm sure he would be.
Yeah.
I'm sure he would be.
You know, so people don't really know it, but it's actually going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, that would, I mean, I can't imagine that that's not happening. Like, if there's an egregious call.
Of course it's happening, Rick. I mean, you got Park Avenue involved with reviewing turnovers. All of that stuff is centralized. I mean, of course it's happening where there's communication. And if they had a sky judge in place, that would absolutely be the case. But, I mean, that's maybe why the NFL is deciding that they're not going to try to experiment with some of these things, because they don't have all of the kinks worked out. They don't have all of the different, you know, machinations planned for it. Maybe that's why they're avoiding this, was because they don't want to see unintended consequences play out on national television.
That's a great point. That could be it.
I mean, you saw what happened in the playoff game with the Titans and the Patriots, and what Mike Vrabel did with the punt and running down the clock.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
They don't want to see things like that. They don't want to see loopholes exploited.
They did fix that, though, which was which was good.
But exactly. Yeah. But the last thing they want to do is to try to implement something new and somebody have a loophole that they haven't thought of, that they have no way to be able to fix in real time, something that they would have to wait until the offseason to fix. You could be talking about making the difference between a team competing for a championship and a team being out of the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, that could definitely be it. I mean, we've seen it so many times. I mean, between what happened last year with the PI challenge, and then, you know, you have the catch rule actually changed during the season without anyone knowing. Actually get changed. I mean, it happened in the Super Bowl. Remember?
Yeah, it did.
Which was ridiculous. But I mean, that's, hey, listen, NFL is king, and we're all going to be chomping at the bit to get it back.
You have 4th and 15. You have every play as an onside kick. You put extra points back to where they were. We're going to watch. All right. Have you turned your man cave into your home office? Rick, you have, yes?
I don't really have a man cave, no.
No?
No, I'm in this. Oh. It was supposed to be, I guess it was a library. I don't know. I mean, what do you even consider it? No.
Oh. Well, starting next week, we're giving our listeners the chance to upgrade their work-at-home experience with an Amazon Echo.
Ooh.
Yeah. We'll give you 3 chances a day between 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. to win a smart speaker for your home office. To enter, simply email us a photo of your work-from-home setup to 98.7 FM at ESPN.com. Again, that's 98.7 FM at ESPN.com. Love the Echo. You have an Echo?
Me, no. That scares the hell out of me, to be honest.
Well, oh, you think it's going to, like, listen in on your private?
No, I don't think. I know it's listening. It's like I know my phone is listening. I can't even have a conversation with my wife and then not have my phone just all of a sudden start giving me, you know, things I just talked about. Advertisements.
So wait. You have conversations, like you could say, like, we'd love to go to Aruba. How great would Aruba be? And then the phone starts to show you, like, hotels in Aruba?
Yeah, like the other day, Cassie. That's, so remember I told you I made the
uncomfortable.
Remember how I told you I made the spanakopita for Cassie?
Yes.
Yeah, which took hours, and then she chastised me because it took too long. So she had bought 2 packages of phyllo dough. So the other day she's like, "Well, we have to figure out what we're going to do with this," and we're going back and forth. And she's like, "Well, maybe we make another one of those, or we make a bakla." I go on Pinterest the next day, and there's on my Pinterest page recipes for baklava.
You don't think it was coincidental?
How would that be coincidental?
I don't know. I'm not on Pinterest.
I mean, that is not into the, you don't just all of a sudden out of nowhere be talking about baklava.
So you think somehow your phone is eavesdropping on your daily conversations and then putting it onto the internet?
Yeah, I do.
Well, that would be Big Brother really winning one, huh?
I'm not alone. I guarantee people feel the same way. Guaranteed.
Do you think that there are people out there that think that if they are just having a private conversation in their bedroom with their spouse, that the phone is listening and then kind of regurgitates thing in advertisements?
Yep.
Chris, you feel like that?
100%, Dave.
You do as well.
Absolutely. I've talked about things in casual conversation, not paying attention to what's going on my phone, jump on social media, and I see an advertisement for what we were just talking about. It happens.
That's terrifying.
Cookies are real, Dave. Cookies are real.
That's terrifying. Now, you know what I'm even is even strange? When you're just surfing the internet, and then all of a sudden you go somewhere else and there's ads for everything you surf. I don't even like that. But to be talking about stuff in the privacy of your home and then have that as advertisements is that's too much.
No, and then there's the whole issue of the cameras on your phone and your computers and everything else that people can hack into.
I don't know this to be true, but I would almost be willing to bet money that you have tape across the camera of your computer.
Small Band-Aid, yeah. One of those little circle Band-Aids.
It had to be. it had to be. A small Band-Aid. Which is great, because if you cut yourself during the show, you could just take it off and put it on and then replace it.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Listen, you know my wife.
You're very practical. Very, very practical.
I'm not going to be one of those guys. I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to be one of those people that ends up doing one of these Zoom calls or has Milo on one of his Zoom classes, and then I'm the idiot that walks behind him doing something. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be that guy.
By the way, people agree with you guys. Whitecaps one says, not coincidental, 100% we're all being listened to. Mike Zelenka, 100% they're right about this. It happens all the time.
Yeah, see that? Snapchat picture of an automatic lawnmower, boom, sent it to a friend. Next day, ad for it.
Oh, God. Telling That's kind of terrifying, though, no?
Yeah, of course it is.
Now, today on ESPN Daily, Roy Halladay was one of baseball's brightest stars, but behind the perfect game, he struggled with addiction, depression, and anxiety before his fatal plane crash in 2017. ESPN's John Barr shares his in-depth reporting on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. All right, head coach of the Rangers, David Quinn, joins us at noon, so we move CMT to right now. Rick, the floor is yours.
All right, here we go, fellas. Santi, can I get a music bed? Your choice, whatever you'd like. Just really want to emphasize
something peppy,
the CMT. Yeah, something nice. Not game showy, but
almost like
we're not going sport. This is not sport. This is a fun Friday. I mean, it was football Friday to start, and then the CMTs on Friday is going to be fun. Dave liked cookout because you can't say barbecue because there's expectations with barbecue. Canty told me that. You say barbecue, there's going to be ribs and brisket and pulled pork and everything else. So I'm going to CMT Cuddle Marry Trash Breakfast Edition. Oh,
breakfast edition.
Breakfast edition. Everyone's favorite. I love breakfast. It's probably my favorite meal of the day, just so everyone knows. All right, here we go, fellas. Santi, a little music, please. Pump me up a little bit. Not necessarily what I was thinking, but...
No.
No. I will go with it. Whatever. Here we go. I'm going to give you a waffle, pancakes, or French toast.
Waffle, pancakes, French toast. So the breaded breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to marry the pancake.
I got this one.
Yeah, I'm going to marry the pancake.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
Yeah, a little butter, some syrup. I mean, the pancake, fluffy, light pancake. I can add blueberries to the pancake, banana to the pancake. I mean, there's many different directions to head when it comes to the pancake. I'll marry the pancake. I will, I think this is going to be frowned upon, but I'm going to cuddle the French toast. I really enjoy a nice French toast, and I will trash the waffle. And I, for some reason, I think Rick is going to look down on me for this, but this is me, and this is what I'm doing.
Firmly garbage.
Nah, you'd be surprised. I'll save mine, but no, I don't mind that list at all.
Dave,
don't
feel bad. I am in total agreement with you. The pancake is one of the staples anytime you start talking about a beautiful breakfast spread, so absolutely gonna marry the pancake. You're with her for the long term. I will cuddle the French toast because every now and again you want something a little bit different, and that adds a little more spice to me than the waffle. So I will cuddle the French toast, and I'll trash the waffle. Don't have to.
Yeah, I'm in full agreement. I'm in full agreement. Wow. Believe it or not, Cassie's waffle. Yeah, I mean, she makes this oatmeal waffle with chocolate chips. Love it.
Now, don't get me wrong. I love the waffle, but if I have to choose one to trash of these three, that would be the one.
Well, because sometimes, I mean, people, depending on where you go, they can screw up the waffle, right? Like, sometimes it's too crispy, sometimes it's not crispy enough.
Yep.
So you're right. Marry the pancake.
This could be too strong, guys, but I could go the rest of my life without a waffle.
Really?
I don't have to have a waffle.
Wow. That's a strong statement.
Yeah.
Very strong.
Yeah. I said it, and I meant it.
I do have this waffle situation, though, so you know, Chris, where I take the waffle and then I smear it with peanut butter and jelly. That's like the best PB&J you ever had in your life. But you can also do that with pancakes, I guess. Yeah. All right, here we go. We're going to go to the egg portion. I'm going to give you scrambled eggs, fried. I'm saying fried because this could be, you know, this could be sunny side up. I'm going to give you the option of over medium, over easy. That's the fried part of the egg. And then I'm going to give you poached, a delicious, perfectly poached egg.
All right. Goodbye with the poached. I don't know how many poached I've had in my life. I don't know how many I need to have. It could go with your waffle and spend eternity, Chris. I'm going to trash the poached egg.
Interesting.
Look at this garbage. Look at this garbage.
Yeah. And then I'm going to cuddle the fried egg. I do enjoy the fried egg, but it's not the superior egg. And then for me, this is a no-brainer. I mean, you could give me nice, fluffy scrambled eggs every single morning for the rest of my life, and I would eat them. And when I was losing all that weight, I did eat them. Egg whites every single morning scrambled, so I will marry the scrambled egg.
If it was socially acceptable.
Very interesting, Dave. See, I'm going to marry the scrambled egg as well, but I'm going to go a different direction. I'm going to cuddle the poached egg, and here's why. I just think the poached egg can be included in a lot of different recipes, from salads to certain, you know, entree dishes. I just think that the poached egg is one of those things that's sneaky underrated. So I'll cuddle that one, and then I'll trash the fried egg.
Firmly.
No, I'm with Canty. I eat scrambled egg whites every single day. I'm going to marry the scrambled. Loved a perfectly poached egg. And fried, you can screw up. I mean, sometimes it's just not done well, so I'll gas the fried. Here we go. Some accoutrement to your breakfast. I'm going to give you bacon, the sausage, Cassie loves, and the ham.
Bacon, sausage, ham. I mean, listen, Chris, you can go ahead.
This is not hard. This is not hard.
I think everyone's in agreement. Right. I mean, yes. We can say it in unit. We can hold hands and jump off like Thelma and Louise. I mean, we're marrying bacon.
Yes.
I mean, Christy bacon is.
I wouldn't marry them.
Yeah, I've told you how I feel about bacon, Dave. I don't trust people that don't like bacon. It's too good. Like, if somebody says I don't like bacon, I'm like, I don't really trust that person.
I don't really like you.
Yeah, that's true. If you don't like bacon, you have a lot of issues in your personal life. So yeah. I'll marry bacon.
Don't overthink it, Dave.
No, you're going to be angry at me. I know it. I can feel it already. I'm gonna cuddle the ham.
What?
Eggs and ham. I love the ham.
Hey, Dr. Seuss?
Dr. Seuss?
Do you even have a soul? I love the ham. And I'm telling you, because I don't know, I have sausage and there's times that I'll like burp and it'll come back up a little bit. No, I'm gonna trash the sausage.
Well, no one told you to swallow this. You got to chew the sausage first.
I do, but then there's reverberations. No, listen, I know it's not popular. I'm not trying to make friends. I'm telling you how I see it.
I'm complete opposite. I'm marrying the sausage, cuddling the bacon, and
bombs
you can keep the ham.
Fallacious seeds.
Yeah, I'm marrying bacon, I'm cuddling sausage, and I'm kicking ham to the curb.
Kicking ham to the curb.
Can't eat cuddling sausage. That's the first. Here we go. I'm going to give you some toast, a bagel, or an English muffin.
All right. Chris, you can go ahead with this one, but this is...
Okay, I'm going to marry the bagel.
Yeah.
I am going to cuddle toast, and I'm trashing the English muffin.
Oh, my God.
Don't have to have it.
Disrespectful.
Garbage. Yeah.
All the nooks.
The way
crannies.
I feel about the English muffin is about the same way I feel about the waffle.
Oh.
I mean, how can you not marry the bagel? You have to marry the bagel.
Yeah.
You have to. You could put tuna fish on the bagel. You can, I mean, there's so many directions to go with lox, cream cheese with the bagel. I'm going to marry the bagel. I'd marry I'd cuddle the bagel as well if I could.
Bombs and fallacious seeds.
I'm going to cuddle the English muffin. The nooks and crannies are too much for me to handle. I love it. Now, I will say this. The English muffin, not as filling as a couple of pieces of toast, but I still do greatly enjoy the English muffin, so I'll cuddle it, and I will trash the toast. Toast is
the same as you did.
Yeah, toast is very common. I don't need toast.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. You got to keep the English muffin around. Now, here's the question. I'm going to give you butter, cream cheese, or jelly. What are we doing?
Ooh.
Cream
cheese or jelly.
Ooh. I got it. Guys, the cream cheese. I'm going to cuddle the cream cheese. I'm going to marry the jelly. And I'm going to trash the butter.
Look at this garbage.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it's probably not popular, but.
No. And you don't need to be. You do what's you. I'm going to marry the butter. Now, here's my dilemma. Love jelly, but I typically love jelly in conjunction with butter. Like a nice piece of toast with butter and jelly. Delicious. Only jelly, not the same.
But this is a regular relationship. This is not a throuple. You can't have both.
I understand. There's no menage here. I'm going to marry the butter. I'm going to cuddle the cream cheese.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
Yeah, and I'm going to trash the jelly.
Trash jelly?
Yeah.
Wow.
Canty, he's not ready. He's not ready for the jelly. Can't handle it.
You can't handle the jelly.
Cannot handle it. All I'm with Canty. I'm marrying cream cheese, cuddling jelly, and you can keep the butter. I'm good with the butter. All right, now this is where we get difficult. I was going to throw this one in, but we're running up against it. I was going to throw some cream of wheat in for Dave because he always has to make that decision every morning. I'm going to stay away from that one. I don't want it to get uncomfortable. So I'm going to go with this one. This is like when you're getting after your breakfast. Maybe you're at a buffet and you have these options. This isn't just like run of the mill. You're going to get this every morning, but this is special. That's why I'm going to end with it. I'm going to give you a delicious cinnamon roll.
Oh, I love the cinnamon
roll. A gorgeous muffin. Or a nice Danish.
Ooh.
All right.
That's hard.
I'm going to marry the muffin. I love the muffin.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
Well, you have a muffin top, so that makes sense.
It's not nice.
I knew it was coming.
A little, and I have butter as I've married as well, so I could put a little bit of my butter on the muffin, slice it in half, toast it.
The grilled muffin with butter. Oh my God!
I'm gonna marry the muffin. I'm gonna cuddle the cinnamon roll. And for lack of, I don't think I've enjoyed all that many Danish in my lifetime.
You're going to the wrong places, Dave.
I'm gonna trash the Danish.
You gotta travel a little bit.
Damn you, DPHRO, for setting me up like this, because I don't want to trash either one of the three.
You have to.
Okay, so the muffin has to be a part of the equation, so I'm going to marry the muffin. I'm with Dave on that one. I've got to marry the muffin.
If it was socially acceptable.
Now you're putting me up against it with Danish or cinnamon roll.
Nice cheese Danish or raspberry.
The smell is wafting into his face. It's hard to beat a nice cheese Danish. A little bacon on the side.
So go with your gut. Go with the Danish. Cuddle it.
But then that means I have to trash the cinnamon roll. I don't want to trash the cinnamon roll. Okay, I'm going to cuddle the Danish.
Bombs and hellacious.
And I'm not going to be disrespectful, so I'm going to say it this way. I'm going to walk away from cinnamon roll.
You're trashing it.
No, I'm walking away. It's a subtle difference. I'm walking away from cinnamon roll. I'm not throwing it in the trash. It's not garbage like Donnie's saying. I'm just walking away from it.
Yeah, see, I agree with Canty. This is one of those situations where I'm going to marry the muffin, I'm going to cuddle the Danish, and just because I have to, I'm going to throw the cinnamon roll in the garbage, but when no one's looking, I'm going to go into the garbage and then eat the cinnamon roll.
Costanza and go in there and pick it back out.
which I have done once or twice. All right, there you go, fellas. That is a Friday edition of CMT.
Oh, a terrific edition of CMT on a Friday heading into the last week.
That was my favorite CMT, by the way.
You should have been here last week. You were off last CMT. Friday. Oh, it was hot dogs and hamburgers and it was
potato salad.
I love the food CMT. I love it.
All right, so there you have it. We'll come back. Scott Boris with a letter.
I have to involve the hot dog
and Trevor Bauer with a response next on 98.7. Yes. All right, talked about it all day. We talked a lot of hockey the other day because it is the sport that seems like it might return for us. We've missed our buddy, the head coach of the New York Rangers, David Quinn. Coach, we welcome you in and hope that you and everyone and your family and close-knit group is safe and healthy during this obviously horrible time.
Yeah, it is a horrible time, and certainly my condolences go to you, Dave. I know it's been a tough time for you and a tough time for everybody. So, everybody talks about what I miss the most during this, and I'm going to say you three. I've missed you three guys the most during this difficult time, so I'm glad to be talking to you.
Well, we're thrilled to have you back, and thank you for the kind words. And obviously a lot to go on during this conversation. So kind of walk us through the return of hockey and what you've been told and you know, the interaction with the team, and just kind of an overview from a head coaching perspective of where you are as the man that leads the Rangers right now.
Yeah, we've obviously been doing everything we can to stay safe and healthy first and foremost, and doing our part in trying to battle this terrible disease. That being said, we're very fortunate to play a sport that people care about and are passionate about. And I think our sport has done a really good job of being sensitive to society's situation, yet also trying to get our game back to maybe help the healing process here. And, you know, we were excited last week about phase one and the announcement of the playoff format coming back. Excited that we're part of it. Obviously, there's no perfect scenario, and trying to keep everybody happy is impossible during this time. But you know, it's you're trying to find ways to stay productive and stay, you know, active in your profession. But there really is only so much film you can watch, and only so many things you can do. And we've certainly been in constant contact with our players just to keep them abreast of what's going on. They're really limited to what they can do from a conditioning standpoint. Some guys have a little bit more access to equipment than others. So, you know, we're going to have a wide degree of what type of condition your players are in. I think that's why there's going to be a long time and an opportunity for the players to kind of find their legs individually before training camp starts. We've tried to do our part as an organization. Our strength coach, Jamie Rodriguez, has done a great job, you know, creating workout plans for our players relative to what they have. We've actually sent every player a slide board just to, you know, try to keep the groins and the hips active to hopefully minimize any potential risk of injury when we do come back. And, you know, we're just excited that we're at this stage. But again, we're going to take this stage by stage and step by step. And the next step is for us to allow our players to come back into the practice facilities and be able to kind of ease their way back into it.
The good old Mike Boyle slide board.
I knew you'd remember that, Ricky.
used to love those days. Quinny, in your opinion, now you're gonna. I really like the time frame as to when, you know, the season could actually get back underway. Obviously, health is the biggest concern, but for you, I mean, how long would you imagine it's gonna take, you know, these guys once they're back to kind of get their legs back and get back up to speed?
I think they're going to have about a 3-week window to be on their own and work out in the small groups. And I think they're smart enough to, you know their bodies. We'll certainly help manage it from afar. You know, there is going to be the urgency to, you know, go hard right away. We've been off for so long. And as you know, you guys know as athletes, you want to get after it, but you've got to balance, you know, the health and the conditioning piece to it all. And, you know, I don't think it's going to take, I think the league is doing it the right way. I think the 3 weeks these guys are going to have on their own to kind of, you know, find their way and push themselves without coaches there is going to be the right way to go about it. I think all these guys are self-motivated enough that, you know, they know their bodies. They wouldn't be at this level if they weren't self-motivated. So they'll be able to push themselves to the degree that they need to. And then, obviously, when training camp starts, we'll be able to bring them to the next level. So, you know, I think the layout and the time frame has been well thought out by the NHL, and I think it's going to be plenty of time when it comes time to drop the puck against Carolina for us to be ready conditioning-wise.
And, Coach, to that point, I mean, I know you mentioned about battling against human nature and wanting to just kind of jump back into it and get back after it. I mean, what do you think about, you know, jumping into playoff-style hockey, you know, when you start talking about your first games against other opponents? You're not talking about regular season intensity. It's a different element. So, I guess, how do you feel about the prospects of doing that and moving forward?
Yeah, I think it's a level playing field, Chris. So I think that everybody's in the same boat and everybody's in the same situation. So I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think every game, I think there's going to be a level of excitement regardless of whether it be a playoff game or not because of what society and what we have all gone through. And obviously the playoff piece of it's going to add a little bit more intensity to it, but I don't think it's going to be that big of a difference and or an obstacle for anybody in the league or for our team in general to be ready to play that type of hockey. I think, you know, it's our responsibility as a coaching staff to make sure we're ready to go at that level. And that's going to be our goal in training camp, to put us in the best position mentally and physically to play playoff hockey.
The head coach of the New York Rangers, David Quinn, with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Coach, health-wise, and we've talked about this a bunch, you know, you guys, the goalie was hurt and it was in the accident, and of course, Kreider was banged up, and I mean, you could argue that a byproduct of not playing hockey for months and months and months is you might have the healthiest team that you've ever had when this thing returns.
Yeah, we are, but I also think, obviously, Carolina's going to benefit from it. They're going to get Dougie Hamilton back. You know, they're going to get Botnin back, who they traded for from New Jersey. So they're going to benefit from it. I think every team at some, you know, in some way, shape, or form is going to benefit from this long layoff from a health standpoint. Kreider was actually a lot closer than people thought. I mean, we ended our season in Colorado on a Wednesday. We were going to play Arizona on Saturday and then come back home and play a game on Monday night. And Kreider was actually going to be able to play on Monday night. So he was a lot closer than maybe people thought when this thing broke. So, and Shesterkin obviously was back in the net. So, you know, we are going to be healthy, which is going to, you know, it's always nice to be able to enter the playoffs with, you know, all your firepower, and we certainly will have all ours.
Hey, Coach, I mean, what do you think, what do you think of the pros and cons are going to be playing these games without fans in seats?
Well, Ricky, you've been in it. I mean, playoff hockey, there's nothing like it. The atmosphere really, you know, is ratcheted up, whether on and off the ice. The atmosphere in the buildings is unlike any other in any sport. And, you know, that is going to be missed. That being said, I think 80% of our team has never played in an NHL playoff game, so they're not going to have anything to compare it to. So that's going to, that might be a little bit of an advantage from our end of it. But, you know, I think it's going to be strange for sure. I mean, you know, down the last month and a half, we feel like we've been playing playoff-type games because of the situation we're in. We dug ourselves that hole. And, you know, the atmosphere in every building we went into was real, and it was electric. So it is going to be a little bit of an adjustment. But like I said, I mean, everybody has to go through it, and that's part of the uncertainty of this playoff. I mean, people talk about an asterisk put next to the Stanley Cup champion. I think if there is an asterisk put next to the Stanley Cup champion, it should be in a positive way, in the fact that this is going to be a Stanley Cup won under, you know, under circumstances that never been happened before. So, and more difficult in a lot of ways. So, you know, it is going to be different, but I really believe once a game gets going, it might take one shift, it might take five, it might take 10, but once a game gets going, I think the guys are going to be in playoff mode, and I don't think it's really going to affect them.
Coach, one of the things that we've discussed the last couple of months is the natural opportunity that's going to be presented to whatever professional team sport that comes back first, because you're going to have the chance to have an audience that you might not otherwise have because of the precautions that we're all taking because of the pandemic. So, I mean, I guess the question that I have to ask to you is, what do you think of the prospects of having, you know, more casual sports fans tuning in to watch hockey when you resume play?
I think that's a great opportunity for us under these difficult circumstances. It might be one of the few positives that from this. You know, hockey's a sport, and you know this, Chris. I mean, it's a lot better in person than it is on TV, but I think it's still an exciting time game to watch on TV. And, you know, there's nothing like playoff hockey. It is going to be a little bit different without the fans through the TV, but we do have an opportunity to capture more fans to follow our great game, and I think the NHL realizes that. But, you know, first and foremost, in all the conversations we've had, and, you know, I think our league has done an incredible job of putting safety and health first and foremost. I think that, you know, they certainly are aware of what's going on in society. And I think, you know, Gary Bettman and Bill Daly and the Board of Governors have done a phenomenal job in keeping all of this in perspective. And we certainly understand how fortunate we are to even get to this point where we're in phase one and have an opportunity to play hockey again.
David Quinn with us here, 98.7 ESPN, head coach of the New York Rangers. Have you talked to all your guys? Have you been in touch with some of them? Not a lot. How's that played out so far through this?
I've talked to all of them, I would say, probably minimum three times, some a little bit more than others for a variety of different reasons. But I've talked to all the players, and, again, just staying in tune with them and finding out, you know, tough to get. It's funny, even though you're a pro athlete, under these circumstances, when you don't have, you know, end dates on when you need to be places and when camp starts and when you might be on the ice, you know, you got to be very self-motivated. So we were trying to constantly kind of give them a little kick in the ass every now and then to, you know, keep the eye on the prize and tell them we are going to come back and, you know, keep staying in shape. And, you know, you can win hockey games between now and by the time we get together again, you know, because the teams that are able to maintain some sort of conditioning between now and the time you get back on the ice, you're going to have an advantage. And that's some of the things that we were talking about with our players. But, you know, I talked to every guy, you know, multiple times during this time.
This is why I love you, Coach, because as much as the players want to play, you probably, of everyone that wants to get back, I'm sure you're the you're the one that wants to get back the most. I'm going to ask you this question, knowing full well that you probably won't answer it, but I will feel bad if I don't. What are we doing now? You got three goalies. Are we working with Shesterkin? I mean, is it his job to start, and then you kind of go from there?
I mean, when the season ended, he was the guy that was carrying the mail, and you know. But that being said, these are different circumstances. So training camp's going to mean a lot. I mean, we're going to watch and pay attention, but we're not going to completely disregard what happened before the thing. You know, before we had to stop. So, you know, we feel incredibly confident in all three of these guys. I'd rather have three really good ones than no good ones. And everyone talks about what a problem it's been. And, you know, oh, my God, you've had three. Well, look at our record since we've had three goalies. It hasn't been the problem everybody has made it out to be. And obviously, the way they have all handled it has certainly gone a long way in us being able to have the success we've had. But, hey, you know, we're going to watch when we do start. That being said, we're certainly going to take into consideration what had transpired during the last, you know, few months of the season. How was that for an answer?
I like it. I would imagine. Yeah. I would imagine with him too. I mean, it is his time, and he's been great for you guys. But I would imagine too, under the circumstances. I mean, if all things being equal and all three goalies look good, I mean, his ability to handle the puck a little bit under these circumstances would probably help a little bit. Also, would be an advantage for you guys.
Yeah, they all have strengths and weaknesses. That's probably the one, you know, he does have an advantage, you know, over Hank and Georgie with his puck handling. That certainly, that never hurts. It never hurts, that's for sure.
I will say the only, and it's not even a negative because, I mean, we're getting hockey back. You guys are, you know, you're in the tournament, which is awesome, especially when you're facing a team that voted no because they hate the matchup. That's going to give you some confidence. But, I mean, you guys, by the end, I mean, the way especially Zibanejad and Panarin were playing, I mean, those guys were two of the best players in the NHL when we went on pause.
Yeah, they were. I mean, undoubtedly they were. And, you know, you talk about Panarin and the year he's had, and everybody, you know, obviously highlights his offensive ability and all the things he does with the puck. But I think what kind of gets lost a little bit in it, he's plus 35, and I want you to go look at the top 10 scorers in the league and show me the guy, anybody who's near him in a plus-minus category, plus 35, you know.
Exactly
Mika,
right.
You know, Mika leading the NHL in goals per game. You know, if Mika hadn't missed those 13 games, he'd be another guy that certainly should be in the MVP consideration. So, you know, those two guys have had phenomenal years, and I've said this an awful lot about both of them. They're, you know, when your best players are great people, it certainly bodes well for your organization.
Coach, doesn't Mika have to win? Dave, hold on. This is my last one. Doesn't Mika have to win the Selke? Doesn't he? I mean, 41 goals, killing penalties. I mean, what he did this season, he has to win the Selke, doesn't he?
He's got to. If he's not in the conversation, then something's wrong, I think. I think, you know, you're talking about as well-rounded a center in the league right now and the way he's playing. I mean, you got to pay attention to what he's doing, you know, and he does an awful lot for us in all situations, that's for sure.
Coach, we were mentioning early on the show, and I don't want to single out any player, but you know, player with diabetes on your team, and I know there are players around the league that certainly have underlying illnesses. Is there a thought that some guys might not come back to play when we do resume, or is the impression you get that, at least with your team, that everyone will come back and will play when we get to the postseason?
Yeah, first and foremost, our players' health and safety is the number one priority. And obviously, you know, with Kako's situation, him being type 1 diabetes, that's certainly going to be a conversation that we're all going to have. And you know, at the end of the day, we're not going to make that decision. It's going to be a medical decision. And, you know, this organization is never going to put anybody in harm's way, regardless of your age. I'll give you 19 or 39. I mean, he's, you know, this kid's a human being first and foremost. And, you know, we're going to, you know, do all our homework, and the doctors are going to do everything they can to give us the best information possible. And we'll make that decision when that time comes.
Bulletin board material with the Canes voting against this new format, unfair for them? Is that something you guys will discuss, or just let's go up against them?
No, I don't think that's why they voted against it. I mean, you know, and I know everybody makes a big deal out of it, and listen, nobody has more respect for that team and that coach than we do. And if you watch those games, I mean, you know, the first game we went down there, Hank stole it. He made 45 saves, and you know, it felt like I had a mask on walking out of that building, you know. I mean, it was the highway robbery. And then the next two games were much more competitive. We get up on both. We get up 3-0 at home on them, and they made a surge and came back. I think we ended up winning 4-3, and then we got up 4-1 on them the third time we played them, and they closed it to 4-3. Ended up winning 5-3. So both those games were back and forth games, really good games. And then the last one, I thought we one of our better performances when we beat them down there 5-2. But we've had great goaltending when we played them, and I can't believe it, to be honest with you. I mean, there's really no relevance to what happened before we play them in the series. Everyone has a different idea of what the playoff structure should be. I don't think they're avoiding us. I just think that was how they felt the playoffs should be. Now, I know everybody wants to take a different spin on it, but I know Rod Brind'Amour, and he's not afraid of anybody or anything. So I don't play anything into that, and it's going to be a hell of a series.
Well, Coach, listen, we cannot wait for any sport, specifically your sport, to return. We're excited for the Rangers. We are thrilled that you joined us for a few minutes today. And Chris is all in, by the way. I don't know if you know this, but Chris has jumped ship. He was an Islanders fan. He was pressured into that, and now he's all in on the Rangers. So
I was never really an Islanders fan, though, Dave. Come on now.
No? All right. No. Well, I know one guy. Listen, I know there's one guy I am never going to fully win over from the Islanders or the Rangers, right? And even though we got the Massachusetts BU connection, I know that never – that wall will never be broken, but I'll accept that and still love
– You lost. Hey, by the way, anyway. You lost that the second you stuck me in the utility closet to get dressed at BU.
No one else would give you a locker room. At least I gave you a place to dress.
That's right. At least you got the closet. And I did pressure him into answering this week. I said, Rangers, Hurricanes, who are you going to root for? And he said Rangers. So it's baby steps, Coach. Baby steps.
Oh, that is baby steps.
See?
That's baby steps. I like it. I like it. But I'm glad we brought Chris over from the dark side. That's good news.
We got him. All right. We appreciate you.
All right, guys.
Hopefully we talk to you a bunch.
Yeah, I look forward to it. All right. Take care.
All right. Thank you so much. That, of course, is such a great guest, the head coach of the New York Rangers, David Quinn, joining us on 98.7 ESPN. So I can't wait for the start of hockey. It's going to be great. I mean, there's going to be no travel.
I was going to tell him, you asked a good question. It's not what you think. It's what you can sell to the team. Is that going to be bulletproof?
Right.
Of course, that's going to be bulletin board. 100%. Has to be.
Of course. I mean, they didn't want us. They voted against this. Come on. That wouldn't, you're a coach now. That wouldn't be on the bulletin board pregame discussion game one. They voted against this, restart of the league just because they didn't want you guys.
That's probably how I'm opening up my game one. My pregame speech is probably going to be opened up with that. Yeah.
Right?
This team's scared of you. They want no piece of you. 0-4 against. Oh yeah. 100%. I mean, you're selling that all day long. The other point, though, that I think is an important point, too, is I think the time frame and when this thing gets started is important, because you're going to have the guys have plenty of time to get themselves back into the shape they need to be in, because skating's different. It really is. But the point of having no fans in the seats and how many guys on the Rangers have never experienced playoff hockey, I think that's a huge advantage for a team like the Rangers. I do. Because you're going to have less nerves. I mean, you're going to see... I mean, a lot of times you play in these big, humongous games and, you go into your first couple power plays and it stinks and you can't get any shots. And then all of a sudden you start feeling the pressure because your crowd's booing you or the other crowd's getting the momentum. That messes with your head. And now not having to worry about that, you can just focus on, what's happening on the ice would be a huge advantage for younger players that never experienced those kind of big, huge moments.
But the other side of that, though, Rick, is because you don't have the fans in the stands. I mean, if you haven't been in the postseason, then it's hard to understand what the speed of the game is going to be like. It's going to be different. And, even without the fans, like veteran players on other teams are going to understand, okay, this is what it's about. And I know that the intensity overall is ratcheted up a little bit. Now, maybe you'll have a little bit of more intensity than you would in a regular season game just because you hadn't played in so long. But this is going to be a different animal. And sometimes when you have the fans and you have those environments, it's easier to get into the flow of the game. When you don't have any fans, I mean, you're going to be responsible for bringing all your energy and all the emotion yourself. And for a young player, that's a hell of an adjustment.
It's a hell of an adjustment, but sometimes you just don't know better. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes you don't understand what's at stake. Because it's your first foray and you don't feel like, like this isn't going to be the last time. So, I mean, I'm just going to go out there and play, as opposed to maybe, one of the teams that are expected to win a Stanley Cup that's got a bunch of older players. They kind of can feel that pressure a little bit more than the young guys.
Yeah, I can see that.
I think it's going to be good hockey, though. I'm not concerned. I mean, with the amount of time they have to get ready, especially all these teams being healthy and everything else, I mean, it's going to be, I mean, it's going to be fast, and it's going to be, I mean, I would imagine the physicality, like the physical play is going to be crazy with how pent up these guys are.
Can't wait. I mean, they haven't played in months. They haven't skated probably a lot of these guys in months.
Okay, but you haven't played in months, and then all of a sudden you can have 3 weeks by yourself doing without coaches, and then you go into a 3-week training camp. So now you're talking about 6 weeks of just going up against your own guys, and then you get unleashed in a best of five playoff playing series.
Yeah. So what are we thinking? We're thinking like July, like 20th in that range between then and the end of July.
The back end of half July.
I think end of July. I think they said camp won't start before July 15th. I think they said. So
camp won't start before July 15th?
Won't start before July 15th, I think was the date. July 11th, July 15th, one of those days. And then they'll have 3 weeks after that. So probably closer to like the end of July, early August,
Right. All right.
Because they're going to push next season back. Like, next season is already going to be pushed back. Yeah, which is
You have no choice but to do that now.
Which is smart. Work back. That's how I said that from the beginning. You should work backwards, man, because you don't have enough answers right now. No one, you just buy time. Just buy as much time as you want.
Right.
This is the most valuable time.
So what is it? So say, for argument's sake, it's August, September, part of October in the postseason?
Yeah, then you'll have, you'll get, restarted either late December or beginning of January. Get your next season started.
And the plan is to still play a full season starting in January.
Yeah, they've worked it out where you play a full season, you get rid of the bye, play the 82, and then give yourself the best opportunity to have people in seats.
Right. So next year's 2021 season will probably also be pushed well into the summer.
Yeah, that would make if it starts in January. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, whatever it is, we all are desperate for hockey to return. Exciting to think that it might.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.